John chapter 3. We'll go to the football verse. About football games. Verse you're very familiar with. John chapter 3. Today's topic, I titled this The Greatest of These. Thought it was a appropriate topic to start off the new year, this year, to look at what the Word of God calls the greatest of these.
Greatest of? What's the main topic?
The greatest of these. John chapter 3, verse 16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we're all very familiar with the topic of the love of God. And there are so many aspects to the love of God in the Word of God. We're aware that we love God because he first loved us. The Word of God says that, and now says that we're to love others then as a result. So God loves us, we love him, and then we're to love others. When Jesus Christ was asked about the first and great commandment, what did he say? Love God. That's what how he responded. And the second was, well, love your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting. I mean, he took all the Old Testament and said, on these two hangs everything. So how important is the love of God? When Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, he taught them that it was the badge. It was the badge of their walk. By the love of God, by walking in love, they would know, the people would know that they were his disciples. That was how they would know. It's interesting he didn't say it's because of all the miracles you'd be doing. He just said, by this shall people know that you're my disciples. So, in Romans, when Paul wrote by Revelation, he summed up the entire Old Testament and said, it said that in the word that love is the fulfilling of the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, is what he said. Put it right there. So what was the point of the law? It was that people would not work ill toward one another. And he said, well, in the New Testament, by the work of Christ, in order to fulfill the entire law is fulfilled when you walk in love. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said. When all these hang, all the law and the commandments, everything was written that they would walk in love toward one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I thought we'd take a brief look. This is a huge topic, as we know. But a good way to start off, I think, the year to think about this topic. And I wanted to read this in the Working Translation. So if you'll... You can follow along with King James. I'll just read it in here. Verse 1, if I speak in the tongue of men and of messengers, but do not have love, then I have become a sounding brass, gong, or a clanging cymbal. Noted here, as we go through these verses, you're well aware that he doesn't say here that the manifestations that he's talking about in themselves are nothing. He says, I am nothing. Manifestations are valid, but he says, I am nothing. Verse 2, if I have prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the believing so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, then I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed others, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, then it profits me nothing. And here in the next verses, in the King James, it uses the word charity. In the Greek, it really literally says the love, just as we've learned in the past about the faith, the right way of believing, is how it's been translated by Reverend Gere, the right way of believing. This is the same construct in the Greek. It's not just love, it's the love. So you might want to translate it as the right kind of love, which is what Reverend Cummins did in the Working Translation. So it's the love. So the right kind of love, or the love, is long-suffering. It is kind. The right kind of love is not envious. The love is not a braggart. It is not puffed up with pride. You know, these are all characteristics that we're well aware of. Not easy to live this way, to always be long-suffering, always to be kind, never to be envious, never to boast. All these things, it's a call to the believer to live this way, and it's not simple. Verse 5, it does not behave itself dishonorably. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not easily upset. It does not consider evil. It does not rejoice in injustice, but it rejoices in the truth. It covers all things, believes all things, and these are all things according to the truth. It hopes all things according to the truth. It endures all things according to the truth. The right kind of love never falls down. In King James, as you know, it says it never fails. It never falls down. However, prophecies will be made inactive, tongues will cease, and knowledge will be made inactive. Surely we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is mature comes, then that which is in part will be made inactive. It's interesting that when God writes this here to us, it says in the future, manifestations will be inactive. You know, they're pretty important manifestations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think of all the things that the manifestations allow a believer to do, he says they're going to be made inactive, but love will still be here. Interesting. So in the next administration, when these things are made inactive, love isn't. It is still here. So the love of God transcends administrations. Verse 11, when I was an infant, I spoke as an infant. I thought as an infant. I reasoned as an infant. When I did become a man, I did in fact lay aside the things of the infant. Thus we now see in a mirror, and Reverend Cummins puts in brackets, made of metal, because they used to have the metallic mirrors. Why, you really couldn't see that clearly in a metal mirror, as you could later when glass was invented. Thus we now see in a mirror in obscurity, not really clear. We have some kind of understanding of how we're understood and how God sees us, but it's obscure. But then, face to face. So someday we're going to really understand how we're known. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I also was fully known. You know, so don't feel so bad if you don't fully understand everything there is to understand about yourself and all the way God sees you. That's something we grow into. But someday, God still calls it obscurity, or not so, a little darkly yet. Someday we'll understand. That's when the Lord comes back. However, there now abides believing, hope, love, these three. And the greatest of these is the love, or the right kind of love. So God calls love the greatest of these, you know, when compared to love, believing, and hope. And in fact, even believing, it says in the Word of God, works how? By love, doesn't it? And many times, if you look up the word hope in the New Testament, a lot of it has to do with us loving His appearing, looking forward with love to the coming of Christ, because we love Him. In Ephesians chapter 1. You know, to me, when God's Word says it never falls down or it never fails, it's a wonderful solution to many of the problems in life for which you may not have a solution at that moment. And that is, if you act out of the right kind of love, or the love of God, the Word of God promises that it won't fail. It won't fall down. It won't be to in vain, if you want, and it will profit you, because if you don't do it in love, it won't be profitable. The world's idea of love is very distorted. everybody in the world, and no one can ever argue with this statement, everybody needs to be loved. There's no one that says, you know, nah, no thanks, I'm fine. Everybody needs to be loved. Unfortunately, the world's idea of love is quite distorted, and a lot of times that idea of love we read into the Word of God, and you see it. I mean, the obvious stuff is the homosexuality and the transsexual and all that kind of stuff. That's, we know that's just a non-starter. It's completely messed up. The idea of romantic love being more important than the decision to love is also wrong. The idea, you know, and we always say love is a decision. You make up your mind to love, and that's absolutely true. And the other stuff follows after. So there's a lot of things that they've got messed up. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So we're just going to look at a few verses in Ephesians that talk a little bit about love. Again, the great book on love is the book of Ephesians and 1 John as well. But in Ephesians 2, you'll see it's all throughout the New Testament. 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, and even when we were dead in sins and so forth, that's when he looked upon man and said, okay, I'm going to send the Savior, and he loved us. In Ephesians 3, we read this last year in some detail, but just to read it again, it's interesting that there are two main prayers in the book of Ephesians, and this one here we're going to read in Ephesians 3, it is centered on love. Ephesians 3, for this cause, verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, giving this four dimensions. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I pray to God every day that I would understand these verses more and what they're trying to get, what God is trying to get at here. It's interesting. One of the central aspects of that prayer is to walk in love, to understand the four-dimensional love, and to understand how we're being filled, how we're filled with God. You get your mind around that? Filled with the fullness of God. You can walk filled with the fullness of God. And that includes being able to love the way Christ loved, to love that way. You know, a lot of times I think witnessing to people is done without love. I will raise my hand on that. Whereas if we approach it from the point of view of love, chances are it will be a lot more effective. Not that, you know, I want to convince somebody of something, but that I want to introduce them to God, and then they can be blessed in their lives and have a relationship with God and have eternal life and be able to share it with their family and take care of their family and all that, as opposed to, you know, just witnessing for the sake of witnessing, but to help them in love. When Jesus Christ was there, he looked upon everybody with compassion. He said, look at the fields, they're ready to harvest, and there are not enough laborers. He had compassion on them. Whether it's 30 seconds or a minute or, you know, have a couple of minutes when you're walking somewhere, maybe you're in a different country or a different city, you might have a few minutes with somebody. It doesn't matter if you ever see them again. The whole point is to introduce them to God with love, to understand this is a soul that needs God. Everybody needs God. In Ephesians 4. It's hard to describe love in words, but one thing that is sure is that you know when you've been loved. It's hard to describe it, but you always know when someone's really loved you and and helped you or in some respect, but you know, the words just aren't there. And can you ever get too much love in life? No. Verse 15 of Ephesians 4. See then, am I in the right place? I'm in 5. Verse 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That section 15 starts off by that we're to speak the truth in love. And then as each person, when it talks about joints, bands, and doing the things that each person is supposed to do and wherever they happen to be amongst the members of the body of Christ, that's what builds the body up in love. And that's where, you know, a lot of times, not going to read Ephesians 6, but it talks there about husbands and wives and love and children and all that. We know about those sections. Again, all about love. It is not, but when it talks about walking in love as the joints and bands, a lot of times, this is where I mentioned that the world's idea of love may come into our thinking a little bit, because we think love is, you know, oh, it's okay, you know, you hug somebody and it's okay, everything's going to be okay and everything will be fine. And that's really, it is a huge part of love is affection and kind and caring. But God said, you know, he had it written many times, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, so keeping his commandments, keeping what the word of God says, is love, is to walk in love, is to be loving. And we understand the side of it that says, you know, I want to be compassionate towards somebody, I want to help them, they're hurting, and that is very, very needful. But love is way bigger than that. For me to love God, if I say, you know, we can read 1 John 4, we're not even going to go there today, except for one verse, but if I say that I love God and I don't do his word, then I'm a liar. That's what it says. So it doesn't say if you don't do this part of the word. He said, keep my commandments. Keep my word. So God's viewpoint of saying, you want to show me you love me? Do my word. And, you know, if you think about it as a parent, isn't that how kids show their love towards you? You say, would you just do what I ask you? And when they do what you ask them, it's such a blessing. You know, it is them showing love towards you. Yeah, hugs are great. You know, all these things, and that's the affection. There's so many, love is so big. It's probably one of the biggest things in terms of understanding and the impact it has on the world and the things that we do in our lives. But think about that one where it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's huge. It's not just a matter of, you know, yeah, I know you're hurt, let me be compassionate towards you. So how about the other side of it? When, you know, remember Peter, when Jesus Christ spoke to Peter, you know, get behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. Did Jesus Christ, and we're not even going to look at his life, did he always walk in love? He so loved, he gave his life, didn't he? And that's the greatest thing a person can do when they love someone is to give their lives for them. That's why a man is called to give his life for his wife. It's the greatest show of affection and love towards his wife. So when he's talking to Peter, and he said, you're not thinking the things that are of God, but the things that are of man. Was he walking in love then? Well, that really isn't the world idea of love, is it? The world doesn't even have that in their love zone. It's all about being kind and don't offend anybody and don't, you know, you don't want to say what you believe because you might offend somebody and all. Well, that's not what God's viewpoint of love is. God's viewpoint of love is, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And here in Ephesians, it talks about joints and bands. So if you know that I am not walking by God's commandments. It is unloving for you not to tell me. It's the exact opposite of what you might think. If I know somebody is off on God's word, it is unloving for me not to try and help them. I don't mean we just barge into everybody's life and, you know, that's what I'm saying. There's another side of love, being kind and, you know, watchful and careful and all that kind of stuff, and not being, you know, butting in where you're not asked to. But if I know, if you know, and I'm telling you, wide open here, if you know that I am not walking in God's word, I want you to tell me. I'll never say to you, you know, well, that wasn't very loving. Because what does God's word say? You love me, you keep my commandments. And if I'm having trouble keeping his commandments, then I want to know about it. Because I don't want to not love God. I want to walk in love towards him. I think we all do. And that's where, you know, the world's idea of love is a little bit messed up. Another area of love, again, we're not going to look at the verses, but 1 Thessalonians, if you read the books of 1 Thessalonians, what does Paul write in there about the love? He said, we stayed up late night, we were, you know, we did everything we could to make sure the gospel was, we didn't even take a salary, so to speak. We worked ourselves day and night just so that they would know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what does love? Love means a lot. It's a lot of work. It doesn't just happen, you know, the mushy kind of, oh, you know, there she is, the woman of my dreams, and then they fall in love, you know, and they go off and they get married and divorced the week after. That's, you know, it's love. When Paul and company and his associates were there in Thessalonica and the other places they went to, and they worked hard and they confronted believers and they got involved, and they, you know, Paul confronted Peter and Paul confronted Barnabas and all these things for the sake of the gospel. Was that loving? Absolutely. Because it was trying to get these men to keep God's word. To me, the greatest thing you could do for me is to help me keep his word. That's my opinion. Is to keep his word. If you know, oh, it's okay, you know, Raj is off a little bit there, but that's okay. It'll be fine. I don't want to offend him. Please, offend me. Because God's word says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what it says. In Romans chapter 8, again, we could talk a lot about this. In that section in Thessalonians, we didn't read it, but it talks about, right in 1 Thessalonians, talks about labor out of love. In fact, any labor you do in your work, in your life, that is not out of love is unprofitable. You know, tell the kids, you know, when you're doing dishes or whatever, or making your bed, and if you're just doing, oh, fine, I'll do it. You know, there is one aspect of just doing it, but there's another aspect of doing it out of love. For one, you get rewarded. For the other, it's unprofitable. The same actions get done, and the same end result in terms of the things that were supposed to be done get done. One is profitable, the other is not. God says the one that's done out of love is profitable. The other is not. So it's not just a matter of doing things. It's doing them out of love. In Romans, sorry, let me just look at one more thing. Yeah, so when God's word says it's the greatest of these, it's neat because that it never fails. It never falls down. So it's a great criteria for making decisions in life. It says in the word of God that we've been given a spirit of love. It is to be our nature to be loving. But to understand what it means to be loving, the only way we understand that is to look at God's word and see how these men walked and what they did and how they fought for the word of God in people's lives and how they did everything they could for the sake of the gospel and how they didn't let, you know, the word just slide by if things were wrong. That's another, you know, if I want to walk the way they walk, I got to look in here. I can't be, my mind's idea of love can't be tainted by all the things we see out there about love that the world keeps pushing down our throats. It has to be, what does the Word of God say about love? And Jesus Christ is, again, the finest example. He gave his life. He gave his heart. And Paul even told them later on, he said, be ye imitators of me. And who did Paul imitate? Christ. That's why he could say, be imitators of me. So there's another example we can look at. What did Paul do in terms of walking in love? What did he do? He gave himself for the sake of the Word of God. You know, there was a lot of times, you know, that whole thing about that trip they took to Jerusalem when he shouldn't have done it. You know, again, if you think of someone doing something wrong for maybe a lot of the right reasons, it's because he had a huge and great love for Israel, and he was doing his best to sort something out. It was still wrong, but you see, he was motivated by his love for Israel. So in Romans chapter 8, we'll just close a couple more verses here. Again, like I said, this is too big a topic to. I thought it'd be something to look at and think about throughout the whole year as something that we try to emulate these men and women who walked in the Word of God and walked in love, but emulate them in a biblical sense, not in a worldly sense of that whole just affection and that kind of what I call the mushy side of love, which is also good. Affection's good and romance is good and all that. But if we love God, we keep His commandments, and we keep His commandments, the results are profitable and a blessing the way God designed. In Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels. By the way, does Jesus Christ still love us? Mm-hmm. Is he still doing things for us because of love? Yeah. Yes. Now, when you think about when Jesus Christ, after he was raised from the dead and he sat at the right hand of God, and then he carried out his ministry like he does today in the age of grace, he has a lot of responsibilities. Someday, one of these days, we'll take a few look at some of the responsibilities of Jesus Christ in the age of grace. But he, you know, in that sense, does he ever show up in the book of Acts in places where believers needed help? Does he ever give direction? Does he ever help them? Did he ever confront anybody? Yeah. Paul, maybe, on the road to Damascus. What are you doing, Paul? What's going on here? All right, isn't it a little hard for you to kick against bricks? What's going on? You see, to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hasn't stopped loving us. He says we're more than conquerors through whom he loved us. He still loves us, and he continues to love us. Didn't he say he'll be with us forever? This thing carries on into the next administration. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Love doesn't go away in the next administration. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation thing in creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which, by the way, is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who is the example of love, how he loved, walked in love, will continue to love. He's the great example. We'll close in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Again, a great chapter of love, as you all know. Let's read one verse. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, and again, that so loved us has a lot of aspects to it, we ought also to love one another. And to walk now in the same love that God loved us, that the Lord loved us, is to understand some of the aspect of that love and how to walk that way. So when we can choose, it's not here, he says, if God so loved us, then we're also going to love one another. No, it says we ought also to love one another. That decision to walk in the love of God, however uncomfortable it may make us feel in situations, but we need to bring the word of God to someone's remembrance who we know is not keeping God's commandments or is out of alignment with harmony with God. Again, looking for the proper opportunities to help others, to help one another, the joints and bands having nourishment ministered. You know, when we get together in fellowships and we pray for one another or we write emails or whatever, wherever those touch points are with believers throughout the days of our lives, text messages, I don't care what it is, right? To so walk so we love one another and help one another to stand on God's word. Because, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to walk for him. I want to love him. But if he tells me that to love him is to keep his word, then I want to keep his word, because that's loving him. And I need help to keep his word. We all need help to keep his word. And so let's choose, as it says here, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, to love with the same way the Lord loves us today. And so the greatest of these, it never falls down. It never fails. So it's always a good decision to walk in love. Okay.